Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Inshallah, today we'll have class number 8 in the series of classes called Your Journey to Eternity. And the title of the class is Turn Your Life to an Act of Worship. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about sincerity, that is to say, purity of intention, as an important factor for our deeds to be accepted by Allah. Last week we learned hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all actions are only by their intentions, and every person shall have only what he intended. And we learned that intention refers to the motivation behind the act. What is your motivation for the act? This is your intention. And we must remember that the place of the intention is in the heart. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most important part of your body is the heart, it is the most important because the place of the intention is inside the heart. And all your deeds up to your intention. So your reward and your destination will be up to your intention, which is inside your heart. And this is why the heart is the most important in our bodies. We must also remember that pure intention means obeying Allah's commands for the sake of His pleasure and reward. This is the meaning of pure intention. This is the meaning of sincerity. Again, obeying Allah's commands for the sake of His pleasure and His reward. To have the reward only from Allah the Almighty. And we must always remember that you must have an intention for every deed and statement, because actions are only by their intention. If you don't have an intention, you will not be rewarded for that deed. We learned also that good deeds like learning the Islamic knowledge, the Quran, teaching them, spending on the poor and the needy, these good deeds will not be accepted by Allah if the intention was for showing off or for being praised by the people. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about sincerity, purity of intention. We will learn about the importance of the pure intention and what benefits you will get when you have the purity of intention. We will learn that Allah rewards you for the good intention even if the deed was not done. We will learn that good intention makes the habits of the Muslim acts of worship. We will learn, inshallah, that good intention is the way to Allah's mercy, that is to say, the relief of hardships. Good intention is the way to have Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercession on the Day of Judgment. Good intention is the way to have spiritual power, mental peace, and to have patience regarding doing the good deeds. Let us now start by learning that through your pure intention, sincerity to Allah, you can receive the reward of a deed which you didn't do. Okay? Even if you don't do the deed, you will receive its reward. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, benefits of this worldly life are for four men only. This means that people in the life are four kinds of people. Number one, a servant of Allah, whom Allah favored him with wealth and knowledge. He fears Allah, he does the good deeds to his, he does good to his kin, and he recognizes Allah's rights in his wealth. This servant is in the best rank. Actually, to clarify this hadith, number one, this is the first number of the first kind of the people. A servant of Allah whom Allah favored him with both the wealth and the knowledge. Accordingly, actually, sister, this is the knowledge of the belief in Allah's oneness. Okay? It is not the, you know, the knowledge of medicine or the knowledge of engineering. Okay? Because with the knowledge of engineering and medicine, people are more arrogant. We are looking for the knowledge which will lead you to fear Allah, to do good for the people, and to recognize Allah's right in the wealth. This means to give the charity and to give sadaqah more, okay? And to earn the wealth from the halal and to spend the wealth in the halal, not to spend too much and not to... And to be always, you know, following Allah's rules regarding the wealth, this servant is of the best rank. The second one is a servant whom Allah favors him with knowledge and he doesn't give him wealth. But he is sincere and he says, if only I have money, I would do like so and so. He and the first person will be equal in terms of reward because of his good intention. So this is very important for every Muslim to learn this fact, that if you are sincere regarding obeying the commands of Allah, if you are sincere regarding spending wealth for the sake of Allah, but you don't have wealth, there is no problem. Just have the good intention, the pure intention in your heart that, oh Allah, if I have wealth, I will build 5 masjids, I will build 10 Islamic schools, I will help all the poor and the needy in the world. Allah, the Almighty, will give you the reward for all these deeds, in spite of the fact you didn't do it, because of your good intention, and you will be in the same rank, the best rank, like the first kind of the people whom Allah favored with the wealth. And actually, this is a glad tiding for every sincere Muslim. Okay? The problem is to have the sincerity. The problem is not to have the wealth. The problem is the sincerity. The third one is a servant whom Allah blessed him with wealth without knowledge. And again, this is the knowledge of the belief that Allah is the one, and to believe that everything is run by Him. This life is just a test. The other life is the most important. This kind of belief, okay? The knowledge of the belief, okay? He doesn't have any knowledge, so he spent his wealth in a useless ways. He doesn't fear his Lord, nor do good to his kin, and neither recognizes Allah's right in that wealth. He will earn from haram. He will spend from haram. He will not give money except, you know, in the ways which he fulfill his desires. Okay? This one is of the worst rank. In the worst rank. Okay? The fourth one is a servant whom Allah neither blessed him with wealth or knowledge. And he says, if I only had wealth, I would do like so and so. Number 3. He will do like so and so. He will spend the money in a useless way. He will never fear Allah. He will never recognize that Allah's right in his wealth. So he will be in the worst rank, like number 3, because of his bad intention. And actually, this is a bad tiding for a lot of people. Because most of the people, actually, either they have wealth and they don't have knowledge, so they are not spending the money according to the rules of Allah. They are in the worst rank. And the rest, they don't have either wealth or knowledge. And all the time, they are looking to the people whom they are living in the big mansions, the people whom they have the big cars, the people of the Oscars, and all the time, oh Allah, I want to be like these people. So they are in the worst rank. At least those whom they have the wealth, they enjoy a little bit the worldly life and they will be in the hellfire. But those whom they don't have anything in this life, they didn't enjoy anything and they will be also in the hellfire. You see, because this is the reality. And if Allah favored them with wealth, they will spend it against His rules. So Allah knows them. Allah didn't give them anything, but He will send them to the hellfire also. You see? And actually, this is a very important hadith for everyone to learn. whether you have good intention or bad intention, you must revise your intention. Because most of the people are not aware that out of their bad intention, they will be in the worst rank. They will lose everything. They will lose everything in the hereafter, which is supposed to be, you know, their hope. Because they didn't have anything in this worldly life, so the hope is in the other life. Inshallah, Allah doesn't give us wealth in this life, Allah will compensate us in the other life. Unfortunately, Allah will not compensate you because of your bad intention. You see, and this is the importance of the knowledge. You know, again and again, I always clarify this, especially for the revered sisters. You know, you cannot be a revered sister under the impression that, inshallah, I will have double the reward. Inshallah, you have double the reward, but you must have the knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, you know, you will be confused. You will not do the deeds which you deserve the double reward. You will not have the intention, you know, which deserves the double reward, because you don't have the knowledge. You know, the problem is not whom I am. I am a Muslim, I am a converted Muslim, I am a believer. The most important is how much knowledge you have and how much you are practicing this knowledge in your life. So actually the lessons from this hadith, number one, the importance of the religious knowledge as a way of guidance, obeying Allah's commands, knowing His rights and having sincerity, so that this knowledge will be your way to Allah's reward. Number two, the importance of the pure intention in Allah's sight, as it is the way to Allah's reward. Allah doesn't look to our bodies and to our external shape. Allah only cares for our hearts and our deeds. So your heart have your intention. So the most important to care for is your intention, because this is the most important in Allah's sight. You will be rewarded even if you don't do the deeds. Having wealth is not a sign that Allah loves you, but it must be accompanied by the correct knowledge. Number four, the importance of being close to sincere people. Because actually you are always similar to those whom you live with. Okay, so the more you have sincere people around you, inshallah, the more you will be close to Allah. We will learn today also that pure intention makes the habits of the Muslims acts of worship. Actually, there are people who eat and drink and enjoy the pleasures of life, their actions are motivated only by the wish to satisfy their desires. There are also other people who eat, drink, and enjoy the pleasures of this life, but their actions are motivated by their pure intentions to worship Allah. Okay? So, what is the meaning of this? What is the difference between these two people? In order to learn the difference between those two people, we must learn the scope of worship in Islam. Islam considers every action which is performed with sincerity, that is to say, the pure intention to obey Allah and to seek His pleasure and reward, as an act of worship. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that so long you have pure intention, your act will be an act of worship. So, number one, regarding the eating, okay? We will learn now how I can turn my habits into acts of worship. We will have two groups of people. One of them are living this life as habits, and the other one is living this life as acts of worship. Regarding the eating, the one who is living this life as habits, he is eating and drinking to satisfy his hunger and thirst. It is a habit. But the one who lives his life as an act of worship, we will always say, O Allah, make the food and drink a source of good nourishment for my body, which I will use for your obedience and worship. So before you eat, if you want to, you're eating and drinking as an act of worship, you must have the intention to Allah, O Allah, make the food and drink a source of good nourishment for my body, which I will use for your obedience and worship. Accordingly, all your eating and drinking will be, you will be rewarded for these habits as an act of worship because of your intention. And actually this intention must be a real intention, pure intention. Okay, you eat and drink because you are living your life for the sake of Allah, to worship Allah the Almighty. Regarding sleeping, okay, most of the people, they sleep because they need rest or they are exhausted. It is a habit. Okay, but for those whom they live their life as an act of worship, they always say, and actually, before you sleep at night or when you take a nap even, you say, "Oh Allah, make the sleep rest for the body which will obey and worship you." Oh Allah, make the sleep rest for the body which will worship and obey you. Accordingly, the 7 hours of your sleep are considered for you an act of worship to Allah the Almighty. You sleep and the other person also sleep 7 hours. But Allah will reward you for these 7 hours of sleep and the other one will not receive any reward. And on the Day of Judgment you will be, inshallah, in the paradise out of this only, out of acts of worship only, which were counted for you every day. And the people whom they don't know this knowledge will say, "Oh Allah, why? Why she had all this reward?" Because she learned, she has the knowledge about the pure intention, and every day before she sleeps, she call on Allah, "Oh Allah, these hours are for the rest of the body which will worship you." Accordingly, she deserved the reward for these hours of sleeping. Also, let us learn that any activity, any action you do, and you have the pure intention for Allah's sake, it will be for you an act of worship. For example, if you are doing physical exercise, walking, swimming, before starting, the most important in your heart to have the intention, "Oh Allah, this exercise will give my body fitness and strength to worship you and to obey you." If you want to watch the television, "Okay, oh Allah, this is a kind of relief for my body and the spirit so that I can worship you in the best shape." But you must choose what to watch, not to watch the Oscar and to say, "Oh Allah, this will relieve me to worship you." Okay. How you will worship Allah after watching all of this nonsense? You choose to watch, you know, the commentary, you know, something beneficial, inshallah, to learn about the news, what is going on in life, okay, so that you will be oriented with the surroundings, okay. But the most important is to have, you know, the intention for Allah's sake. Most of the people spend most of their life either sleeping, watching the television, or driving their cars, okay, as habits. They don't have any reward. But those whom Allah loves, in reality, Allah gave them this knowledge. Have the intention for every deed, and have the mental peace. I am rewarded all the day. Accordingly, when you wake up in the morning, okay, you know, actually I'm teaching all the sisters, I'm teaching my daughters, I'm reminding them, you know, and whoever I know from the Muslims, whenever you wake up in the morning, you just say in your heart, "Oh Allah, all my actions today are for your sake. I am sincere. Help me, support me, give me the power." The 24 hours until next day, eating, sleeping, taking a bath, coming to the masjid, driving your car, waiting for the, in the line for your daughter, you know, in the school line, you know, in the car line, whatever action you do, it is considered for you an act of worship to Allah because you are sincere and you have the pure intention. So the rule is that all the worldly action that satisfies man's physical needs and the pleasures become acts of worship provided they are performed with true, pure, sincere motives, intention. Now we will read about this fact because this is a command from Allah in the Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and to all the Muslims to have all their actions for the sake of Allah, so that inshallah Allah will count it for them as an act of worship. We will read now from Surah number 6, verse number 162. إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين 162-163
Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him. Verily, my salah, my sacrifice, my living, and my dying are for Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. He has no partner, and of this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the Muslims.
So actually, this is the command of Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that his prayers, his sacrifice, and his living. This is the acts of our living, eating, drinking, swimming, passing, you know, our living and our dying are for Allah. This is the command. If our living, our dying, salah and sacrifice are not for Allah, we are not obeying the command of Allah. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and of this I have been commanded and I am the first of the Muslims. So if we are following Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his followers, so we must have this sincerity in all our actions so that inshallah all our actions or our habits will become acts of worship. Now we will learn about marriage, okay, and how our marriage and our work also can become acts of worship to Allah the Almighty. Let us start with marriage, and actually the most important for marriage to be an act of worship is to know your motive for marriage. Why you are planning to marry? Number one, to escape parents' control. Number two, to live a better financial life through marrying a rich man, or because all the people marry. These are some possibilities why the people, you know, are planning to marry. Or to obey Allah, as marriage is the only legal relation through which a man and a woman can satisfy their spiritual and body needs. You know? So if you are marrying because you have your own normal needs and you want to satisfy it according to the rules of Allah, you must marry. So this must be the intention for marriage. This is the accepted intention for marriage. So this means that, alhamdulillah, you have your intention for marriage for the sake of obeying the command of Allah regarding satisfying your body and spirit needs. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So now your intention for marriage is for the sake of Allah. Now, this is the intention at the beginning of the deed, or the beginning of the action, but I must have it all the time. Okay, how I will have my intention for the sake of Allah every day of my marriage, so that all my marriage years will be counted for me as act of worship. How? Every day in the morning you have the intention in your marriage that, O Allah, I am obeying your commands regarding my manners with my spouse. Love, care, compassion, and respect. Okay? I am having all of this not for the sake of my husband, not for the sake of a good word from my husband, not for the sake of continuation of my life. My husband is out of the equation. If you plan to live your life as an act of worship to Allah, this means that human beings are out of the equation. The equation is between you and Allah, the Almighty. Allah commanded you that if you are a Muslim wife or a Muslim husband, there are some rights which you have to give to your spouse. You are giving your spouse these rights not for the sake of your spouse, not up to his attitude, not up to his, treatment, how he is treating you. No. I am doing my best only for the sake of Allah, because I am looking for the pleasure of Allah and I want my reward from Allah, because Allah is the only power and the only will. Okay? Human beings are not. Human beings don't have power, don't have will, and human beings are not stable. One day they are in a good mood, 1 month they are in a bad mood. So it is one day good mood and one month bad mood. Okay? So if I plan my life according to my husband, okay, I will be good with him when he is good with me. I will take care of him if he is taking care of me. I will forgive him if he forgive me. I will never forgive. I will never give. I will never do any, I will never live my life as I am supposed to live, because I am acting in response to a human being who is weak, who is, having shaitan running in his blood. One day he can be an angel, next day, without any reasons, he can wake up as Iblis or shaitan. What can I do? So I am supposed to be one day an angel, one day Iblis. I will be in mental institution. Or I have to leave him. Okay? And this is why most of the marriages are not successful. Because it is a relation between two human beings and Allah is not there. And most of the human beings are not following the right path. Most of the human beings, in reality, are not clear regarding the facts of this life. This is the big problem. Most of the people are not aware why they are living, why they are working, why they are running in this life. For the sake of what? They are not sure, but they are running. You see, this is the problem. If you are sure why I am living in this life, if you are clear regarding the fact that I may die at any minute, and this life can just finish at any minute, and at that second, okay, my spirit will be with Allah the Almighty, and I will be looking forward for my destination according to the judge of Allah, Allah's judge. So I am not supposed to care for the people. I must have Allah with me now, so that through my relation with Allah, I can follow the right path. So inshallah, I can be, my final destination inshallah will be in the paradise. But if I forget Allah in this life, and I have my life only with the human beings, on the day of judgment, I will not have any good deeds. And this is the life of most of the people, unfortunately, in reality. You see? So, if you want to live your marriage as an act of worship, have Allah in front of your eyes all the time. Between you and this whole life, I have Allah, the Almighty. Regarding marriage, what I am supposed to do, O Allah, you are supposed to have love and compassion. Okay, I will do. You are supposed to fulfill all your responsibilities towards your house and your husband. For my sake, Allah's sake, your reward is only from me. He cannot give you any reward, your husband. Okay? Oh Allah, I will do it. Okay? And, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you are supposed to do, to take care of also your responsibilities towards your kids. I will do it. Because this is part of the responsibility in marriage. It is not only the husband. It is the husband and the kids. Okay? So, if I have the pure intention that, oh Allah, I am living with you. You are with me all the time. I am obeying you. I am living my marriage as an act of worship. Okay? And Allah, you will reward me for everything. This is my intention when I wake up in the morning. Then I start to prepare my breakfast for the sake of Allah. If my husband will come and help me or not, this is something which I never think of it. I am working with Allah. I am working for Allah, the Almighty, not for my husband. I am a servant of Allah. I am obeying the commands of Allah because I am servant of Allah. I am not a servant of my husband. Accordingly, I am preparing the breakfast in the best shape, and I have high mood. My husband will just come and sit and give me and tell me, give me a cup of tea. Give me. Oh, I will give it to you for the sake of Allah. You know, when we learn this, fact, how to live your marriage as an act of worship, actually we must teach our kids, these facts, because most of the Muslims are not aware of this reality. You must teach your kids, your daughters especially, and your sons also, to live their marriage as an act of worship to Allah. If we don't learn this before, no problem. Nobody taught me to live my life as an act of worship. But all praise to Allah. Through coming close to the Quran, I learned this. Alhamdulillah, I'm trying to practice it. Okay? Accordingly, I will prepare the breakfast, I will clean the house, and all the time I will be in a very high mood. Why? Because I am sure that Allah is rewarding me in every second. While I am preparing the breakfast, I am receiving my reward. Allah is putting it in my account. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. I am not in need of the human being. I have the motivation to be the best wife and the best mother without looking for any reward from any human being. I am above the human beings with my pure intention. So I am not looking for anything. I am very happy. I will give more and more. I will do my best. Alhamdulillah. And I am not looking for anything. I am not looking for a reward, for a gift. I am above all of this. My spirit is connected to Allah. And Allah the Almighty is showering me with His mercy. Don't worry, Mona. You are rewarded. Every second you are rewarded. What is better than this in the worldly life? Alhamdulillah. Every minute of your life, you are rewarded for it. Your husband, maybe, he can tell you a good word one day. He can give you a gift every month. But Allah the Almighty is rewarding you in every second. Continuous reward from Allah the Almighty. Alhamdulillah. So the most important is to believe in Allah and to believe in the power of Allah and to be sure that you will be rewarded to the full if you have your acts only for the sake of Allah. Accordingly, if you live your marriage as an act of worship, your husband will be very happy. You are not asking him for nice words or for gifts or for help or for anything. You are just doing the best, okay, without any discussions. All praise to Allah. This is the real success in the worldly life. And you cannot do this except if you do it for the sake of Allah. You cannot do any good deed with sincerity without looking for any reward from the human being except when you are sure that, Alhamdulillah, I am already rewarded. If I receive my reward from Allah, I am not need for any reward from any human being. But the more you are sincere with Allah, the more your husband will love you. The more he will be actually feeling that you are a big gift from Allah. If he is a good person, he will be a better person. If he was not a good husband, he will try to become a good husband. Because he will not find a wife who is trying her best for the sake of nothing from you. Okay, she's not asking for anything. Okay, so this is the most important regarding the fruits of sincerity in our worldly life. I am above the worldly life. I am the best human being with everyone, and I am not looking for any reward from anyone. I am doing all of this for the sake of Allah. I am satisfied, highly satisfied, because I am receiving my reward all the time. So your marriage will be your way to paradise, as Allah will reward for you for every action you do. Cleaning the house, cooking the meals, taking kids to the school, getting them back, preparing the breakfast, being patient with your husband and kids. You can be the best mother and wife if you so long you are looking for Allah's reward. This is how we can live our marriage as an act of worship. This is the only way to have a successful marriage. Otherwise, you can see a lot of couples around you. They are married, but mostly they are not happy. Okay? Because there is no way to be happy, okay, if you are not doing your responsibilities for the sake of the human beings. Because most of the human beings nowadays are extremely selfish and they don't have knowledge. Yes, this is the reality. You know, when you look around you, you talk with the people, number one, they are ignorant. Number two, mostly they are arrogant. Number three, they are selfish. To tell you the truth. You No, this is what I believe in. You agree with me?
I agree. There's a lot of selfishness here.
You know, this is, so if I live my life according to their rules, I will never be a good human being at all. They will push me all the time to become like them. You get my point? But I don't want to be like them, because I am a believer. I am a believer that this life is just a test, and it may end at any time. And if it ends while I am not obeying Allah, my final destination will be too bad for me. I can't tolerate it. I am a true believer. I am a true believer that there is another life. And because of this, I am calling all these classes your journey to eternity. Because most of the people don't believe in eternity. Because if you believe in eternity, you will prepare yourself for the eternity with the good deeds for the sake of Allah. When you look around you, where are the good deeds for Allah's sake? Very little. Very little. Most of the deeds are for the benefit. You give me benefit, I do for you a deed. You don't give me benefit, salamu alaikum. So actually, you can live your life as an act of worship with your parents, with your neighbors, with your friends, so long, with everyone, so long you have pure intention towards them. All your deeds are acts of worship to Allah. I am not looking for anything. My neighbor is in need of anything, I will help her. And I will protect myself. Okay, or I will protect my relation with my neighbor from being destroyed, okay, by the belief that I am not in need of my neighbor for anything. So if she is nice, I will keep on taking care of her or helping her. If she is not nice, I will also keep on. Why you are keeping on, you know, having a good relation with a neighbor whom she is not actually responding in the same way? Because I am treating her for the sake of Allah. I am looking to have a lot of reward through my relation with her. My reward is from Allah, not from her. And I am commanded to treat the neighbor in a good way. This is a command from Allah. Okay, I am commanded to treat my parents in the best way. I am commanded to treat the sisters in the best way. Okay? When I believe that all of this is for the sake of Allah, I will love doing the good deeds for the people. And I will never be upset for anything. Because the people are out of my equation. It is only for the sake of Allah. So actually, good intentions create a world of difference in your life, so long that all your actions are for the sake of Allah. You see, you will be living a life which is totally different from other people. Okay, and this life actually is the life of the spirit. Your spirit will be all the time looking to do the good deeds. Even the people are not good, they are not part of my equation. Alhamdulillah. Let us now learn that sincere intention is the key to Allah's mercy. Pure intention is the way of the acceptance of the deeds in the day of judgment, and also it is the way of mercy, the relief of hardship in the worldly life. Now we will learn about the hadith of the three persons whom their sincerity for the sake of Allah was the way to relieve them from a very hardship. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three persons from the tribe of Bani Israel got together and started out on a journey. This means that far away before Islam, you know. Three people, they come together and started a journey. On the way, clouds gathered and the rain started, so they sought shelter in a nearby cave. Suddenly, a large rock slipped and blocked the entrance of the cave, trapping the three inside the cave. They had no other alternative except to turn to Allah for help. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that three people were in a travel, and suddenly there were severe rain, so they ran to a cave. Unfortunately, a big rock moved and closed the entrance of the cave, so they were trapped inside that cave. And they don't know what to do, so they turn to Allah for help, and they decided that they will use their sincere deeds as means to obtain deliverance from the torment. What is the meaning of this? They will call on Allah with their sincere deeds, okay, to make for them an outlet from that cave. That is to say, through their sincere deeds, they are looking for that rock to move away from the entrance so that they can come out of the cave. Okay? So one of them said, "Oh Lord, you are aware that I have very attractive cousin and that I loved her and I was obsessed with her. One day, finding her alone, I took hold of her and I wanted to satisfy my desires. When she spoke out to me saying, 'Oh my cousin, fear Allah and don't harm me.' When I heard these words, I decided to control my evil act. Oh Lord, if that deed of mine had been out of absolute sincerity and only for your sake, deliver us out of this cave.' Suddenly they noted that the rock had moved away a little bit, emptying up the interior of the cave. A little bit, but not completely. The second person said, "Oh Lord, you know that I have a father and a mother, so old, and I used to take care of them. One night, having brought them their food, I observed that they were asleep, so I spent the whole night near them, the food in hand, without waking them up for fear of disturbing them. Oh Lord, if that deed of mine had been out of sincerity, grant us salvation." So the rock moved aside a little more. The third person supplied, "Oh Lord, you know that I had a worker who used to work for me. When his term had reached its termination, I handed over to him his wages, but he was not pleased and desired more. In a state of displeasure, he went away. I used his wages to buy a goat, which I looked after, and soon I had a flock in my possession. When the worker returned again after a period of time, I informed him and I pointed towards the flock of sheep and gave it to him. He took it all. Oh Lord, if my deed was sincere, deliver us out of this grief. At this point, the entire rock moved aside from the mouth of the cave and all the three emerged from it. This is the sincerity of Allah which saved them from that torment. So what is the meaning of this hadith? The meaning of this hadith is that the more you do good deeds for the sake of Allah, the more you believe that I can call on Allah with these deeds to relieve my hardships. For example, if my daughter is sick and the doctors are not happy with her illness and they are expecting her to deteriorate and I am so upset, I will call on Allah. "Oh Allah, if you know that I was coming to the masjid for your sake, teaching the Islam for your sake, oh Allah, make for me an outlet and save my daughter from that illness, inshallah." If my deed was actually, or my action was actually a sincere one, inshallah, Allah will relieve my daughter from that hardship and inshallah she will be again in a good health. So this is the importance of having the sincerity, you know, as a character, okay, for the believer. When I am sincere with Allah, I am sure that I am close with Allah. Allah the Almighty will listen to my call. Allah the Almighty will relieve my hardships out of my sincerity. We will learn also that sincerity is the way to receive Prophet Muhammad intercession on the Day of Judgment. But actually, sister, before learning about, you know, sincerity as a way to receive Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercession on the day of judgment, we must always realize that while we are having hardships, every one of us will be looking for any light, you know, in the darkness of the hardships, because hardships are darkness, internal and external darkness. I am confused, I am upset, I am depressed, I am not focused, I don't know what to do. But at that moment, if I remember that, oh, I have sincere deeds, I can call Allah with these deeds, this is a very big relief, a very big hope at the time of hardships. And this is very important for the spirit to feel that I have the hope. The hope is there. I am not alone. Still there is an outlet. I can call on Allah. I will keep on calling on Allah with my sincere deeds until inshallah my hardship will finish. This is the most important during the hardship, to have the hope. Until the time will come when Allah will decide to end, you know, the hardship. None of us knows when our hardships will end. So how can I live the time of the hardship? You can live it with the hope that inshallah there is an outlet, there is ease, which is very close. How I can have this hope during the hardship? You can have it from your sincere deeds. This is the importance of the sincerity, which most of the Muslims are under the impression that sincerity is for the sake of the Day of Judgment. Sincerity is for the sake of Allah's reward later. In this world, the life, what sincerity will give me? Sincerity will give you all the good in this worldly life, if you are sincere in reality with Allah. It is up to you. Now we will move to sincerity as a way to receive Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercession on the Day of Judgment. A companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated that he said, O Messenger of Allah, who will be the luckiest person to receive your intercession? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he who says there is no God but Allah from his heart with sincerity. So there are many Muslims whom they are under impression that if they say there is no God but Allah, la ilaha illallah, okay, from their heart, okay, they will have the intercession of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This means that they will be in the paradise. So this means that the way to paradise is very easy. La ilaha illallah. With sincerity. Under one condition, which is the most important and the most difficult. With sincerity. What is the meaning with sincerity? With pure intention. That I am sure that there is no God but my Allah, and all my acts are acts of worship to Allah. My intention is only for the sake of Allah. Human beings are out of my life equation. Completely. They are totally out. If you have all the people out, and you have only Allah, and you are living according to His commands, and you are obeying Him for His reward, you deserve the paradise. Very simple equation. You know, logically, you can learn all the facts of Islam, you know, logically. Alhamdulillah, it is not only to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. But I am worshipping every human being who can give me benefit. I am worshipping the dollar. I am worshipping my husband. I am worshipping my work, my job, my car, everything. I am a servant to everyone except to Allah, the Almighty. Okay. What are the lessons from this hadith? To say La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, from the depth of your heart with sincerity means that you are true believer in Allah's oneness. Your deeds are acts of obedience for the sake of His pleasure, your reward is from Him, and you are following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now inshallah I will give you a story, which is a funny one. okay, clarifying the reality of sincerity in our worldly life, how the people are sincere. Okay, actually one evening an elder gentleman was invited to an old friend's home for dinner. He was impressed by the way his friend preceded every request to his wife with end-earning terms such as honey, my love, darling, sweetheart. The couple had been married for 40 years. Clearly, they were still very much in love. They were still very much in love. Because the husband is just calling with these words his wife. Honey, my love, darling, sweetheart. Actually, while the wife was in the kitchen, the visitor leaned over and said to the host, his host, I think it is wonderful that after all these years you still call your wife with these lovely names. Okay? The host lowered his voice and said, I have to tell you the truth. Her name slipped my mind about 5 years ago. He forgot her name. And I am scared to death to ask her what is her name. Okay. So he is calling her. He is very sincere husband. This is the sincerity. If everyone will see this couple, everyone will say, what a sincere husband. He loved her too much. He is calling her my love, sweetheart, my darling, because he forget her name. And he can't ask her, what is your name? She will kill him. Okay? So this is the sincerity in the reality of our worldly life. We will do the dua, and inshallah, next week, we will continue to know more and more about the intention, the importance of the pure intention in our worldly life, inshallah.
I was wondering, if a person is sincere, or they have one intention, and they say, la ilaha illallah, but at the same time, they know that they're trying to feel the sincerity just for that 30 seconds, you know, then that's actually not their intention. Is that right? I mean,
tell it to me again.
If a person is, you know, like you said, the worldly life is more important to them.
Yes.
And then during prayer time, they try to be sincere just for that time.
No, it is not accepted at all.
Yeah.
It is not accepted at all, you know. This is the problem because, you know, the problem is that sincerity is highly valuable in the sight of Allah. You get my point? So I cannot become sincere for 2 minutes, then I forget about it the rest of the day. Then I remember, let me become sincere during the prayer. If you are believing in the importance of sincerity, you will try to be sincere all the time. And you may forget, you know, half an hour, 1 hour, but you will repent and you will become sincere again. But the opposite is not sincerity, you know, and this is actually the situation of most of the people. They try to become sincere in some events and some occasions, you know, with Allah. And it is always the time of hardship. You know, they are close to Allah. Oh Allah, for the sake of Allah, I will pray more, I will give more charity, I will become closer to Allah, I will attend the classes, I will do everything for Allah's sake. Then after the hardship, I return again to live my life for the sake of the benefits and the sake of the human being. This means that your sincerity was not a real one. It was sincerity for the sake of the event. And Allah is not the one, you know, to be cheated with this untrue sincerity.
I saw a funny commercial of some TV show, and this man was praying that he could find a notebook. And he, you know, he said a really nice prayer, and then somebody handed him the notebook. And he totally went back on the prayer. He said, you know, oh God, if you help me find this notebook, I will be good forever. And then somebody says, is this the book you're looking for? And he says, never mind, I found it.